Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. So we played Will Levis's press conference. Ian, how much longer did it go on after Levis got, or after we dumped out of it? I couldn't listen to it anymore.
I don't know, maybe like 4 minutes?
4 minutes extra. Once they started talking about the Bills game, about how excited are you to go up to Buffalo and play in the hostile environment. And I was just waiting for someone to get the, you know, get back on track about how, you know, bad he is and how bad things are and what's he going to do to make it better and, you know, the real questions. And instead they were asking about Buffalo and, yeah, we want to go up there and, you know, put a frown on their face and, you know, it's going to be a tough place to play. Brother, you ain't putting a frown on anybody's face. I'm going to tell you that right now. So, I listened to that press conference. I listened to Brian Callahan's press conference today. The tones are the only hope that I have that this organization is not living in an alternate reality. But the words certainly say, we are not getting the message. Will Levis is still complaining about how his shoulder's not 100%. Well, if your shoulder's not 100%, then don't play. There are guys that say, hey, man, like, I can't help the team. I'm so hurt that I'm going to hurt the team by playing. And then there are meatheads like Baker Mayfield in 2021 who was drastically injured and was playing through it when he should have had the season-ending surgery only to have everybody dump on Baker and think that he wasn't any good anymore. Sometimes you're hurting the team. I don't think this is the case. I think Will Levis is a loser, and I think he's making an excuse because excuses are for losers. So I have a small reaction to the press conference, which, you know, Derek texted me. People have texted into the text line saying, you know, similar things, and that's that Will Levis has no confidence. Well, duh. Would you have any confidence if you did everything wrong every time you played? Your team is 1-4. The only game they won without you. The first game was 100% your fault. The second game was largely your fault. The third game, you lost to a guy who was your third string quarterback because you threw a pick six. The fourth game, you got hurt, they won. And the fifth game, you threw for 95 yards. So, I don't think he has any confidence. I don't think he should have any confidence. And when he says things like, yeah, I think my decision-making was good, again, either he's trying to tell himself that to make himself feel better, or he's a moron. And I think both are on the table here. But then there's kind of the big picture view here, which is that nobody in the locker room is going to hear Will Levis say something along the lines of, yeah, I think my decision-making was pretty good on Sunday. Or hear the shot that he took at Brian Callahan when he said that he wants to throw the deep ball more because he thinks the deep ball accuracy is one of the best things he does, which I'm not convinced of, by the way, but he wants to throw the deep ball more. On Sunday, Ian, by the way, it was his shoulder wasn't good enough to throw the deep ball, and today it's he wants to throw the deep ball more.
Maybe it was just that one throw.
Oh, yeah. Just on that one, it just flared up. But here's the problem. And I don't know what the truth is when it comes to the Titans and whether or not they're actually living in reality. I understand coaches get up at the podium and lie. I get it. Coaches say things all the time. Players say things all the time. Guys say, I'll never forget Mike Mularkey. In the 2016 season, the Titans had a three-game stretch. They played the defending Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos. They went on the road to Kansas City, which was the number two seed in the AFC at the time. And then they played Jacksonville, who had just fired their coach. And before the Denver game and before the Kansas City game, Mike Mularkey said, we can play with anybody. We're not afraid of the Denver Broncos. We're not afraid of the Kansas City Chiefs. We can play with anybody. They won both games. The next week, they were playing crappy old Jacksonville, and he was up there saying, hey, that's a good team, and we better be worried about that team because that team, again, Mike Mularkey knows those two teams were good, that team was bad, but he's got to send the message to everybody that, hey, you know, we can beat these guys, and hey, we can lose to these guys, and that's exactly what happened in both cases. But I didn't think that Mike Mularkey was detached from reality. In fact, I think he was embracing it, trying to downplay the narratives, the preconceived notions ahead of the game. When it comes to listening to Brian Callahan talk, when it comes to listening to Rand Carthon talk, Chad Brinker talk, Will Levis talk, we've talked about the constant sunshine pumping. Remember, Ian, in the summer when I kept talking about toxic positivity and everybody around here kept acting like that was such a crazy sentiment? Joe was like, I don't even know what
made
that
up.
Means, toxic positivity. What does that mean, toxic positivity? And I thought it was so disingenuous. Like, you guys have never been around somebody in your life who does not live in reality. We all know people in our personal lives that have things that come out of their mouth that are so devoid of the truth, and they don't know it. And I'll say this about Mike Vrabel and John Robinson when they were running the team. They weren't the nicest guys in the world when things weren't going well, but they never just blatantly ignored reality. Like, it was beneath Vrabel to get up there and pretend like it was a good thing that they lost a game. He couldn't do it. Brian Callahan gets up there, and it's like, yeah, you know, that pick six that Levis threw against the Packers, it actually was just a really good play by their player.
Okay.
But maybe everybody over there is just that stupid. Maybe it's not this sunshine pump to sell season tickets. Maybe it's not this sunshine pump to try to run one over on the owner because, again, the owner's crazy and you don't want to be the person that's in her line of fire. Maybe these people actually believe some of this stuff. And that's just as concerning as anything else. There are a lot of people out there that think the earth is flat. But I don't want the person that thinks the earth is flat to be in charge of our sciences. You see what I'm saying? And so until the Titans start acting like a team that needs to be desperate, until the Titans start acting like a team that has gotten a whiff of the coffee, until the Titans stop getting up there every day and acting like everything's good, everybody's playing great, everybody's mindset's in the right spot. I mean, Callahan was up there today talking about how Calvin Ridley's comments after the game on Sunday were a good thing. Yeah. You know, I think it was a good thing when T.O. got kicked out of training camp with the Philadelphia Eagles and went and did sit-ups in his front yard, his driveway. I think that was a positive thing. You know, I think it was positive when Bill Belichick and Tom Brady were feuding so much that Tom Brady decided to go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think that was a good thing for the Patriots. How have they done since then? Oh, yeah, they suck. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing that the New York Jets are letting Woody Johnson call the shots his way now. So you can say anything that's bad is a good thing, but it doesn't make it true. And I have this soft spot when it comes to society, this really strong disappointment in our society nowadays, because there are a lot of people who believe things that are really clearly, blatantly not true. And they believe it not because they've been enlightened by something that the rest of us haven't been, but they believe it because they want to believe it. And for those of us that, again, are at least remotely self-aware, that frustrates people like me on a consistent basis. But I go back to, again, the toxic positivity and the sunshine pumping. I know Rand's full of it, and I know Chad Brinker's full of it. I thought Brian Callahan was equally as full of it, but he may just be stupid enough to believe some of this stuff. I don't know. But when the organization gets up there all the time and tells you things that, again, are not reflected on Sundays at all, why should there be any hope that they're going to turn this around and change? You know, I'm excited for the game on Sunday, because they're going to play Buffalo, who's a good team with a good quarterback. And this isn't Malik starting for them. And this isn't an environment where the Titans will be able to run their snap counts and Leroy Watson won't have to look at the football and actually play in a tough environment. I mean, this is going to be a loud environment. It's going to be raucous. They smell blood in the water. They're going to go for the kill. And I'm actually excited to see Buffalo do it because I'll be excited to see what creative ways the Titans come trying to turn that one around. But, I mean, I'm sorry. Where we sit right now with this operation and organization, I mean, these guys have no shame with some of the things they say. Like, they have no shame. Like, there are certain things that I don't want to admit to, but ultimately, there's a certain level of honesty that I can't let it go. Like, I'm sorry, I gotta own it. And the Titans have to be the least accountable organization I've ever seen. Remember when Rand Carthon was saying this offseason, this feels like my first draft. Well, that's great, but it's not. Like, again, like we're talking about reality. It sounds great, but it's not. Rand Carthon didn't draft Will Levis. Yeah, that sounds great. That's a really great point, except for the fact that it's not true. But again, I mean, I think they'll just, and that's what happens when they don't do any interviews, they don't talk to any serious people, they sit down in podcast land and talk about how great everything is and show us, you know, the epic Western Titan, which, by the way, I have not watched the coach's TV show. The epic Western Titan of the week better be the freaking ball boy that got carted off the field on Sunday. T's and P's to the ball boy, who's like 87 years old, by the way, for a ball boy. And he's wearing his gloves and everything. Poor guy. But again, this organization's such a gong show. And I don't even know what to make of it anymore. 615-737-1025. Stoneman and Company, 1025, 106 of the game.
You don't want overall frustration to creep in on your team with this having happened multiple times, because it could. But is there a balance of anger that you kind of do want to see out of your football team at a moment like this?
Yeah, anger is probably the wrong word.
I was trying to think of a better one.
I think frustration is probably more apt. I think, you know, you felt it from the guys in their post game, in the locker room, some of the things that got said. And that all that tells me is that we got a bunch of guys that care and want to win. And they're frustrated by being so close, but yet not being able to get it done. And it's a team that I think is fully capable of getting it done. And that's, I think, what makes it frustrating. It's we do a lot of things well for a lot of the game, and we have to find a way to make the game-turning play, which we have yet to be able to do in these tight games in the fourth quarter. We haven't scored many points on offense. We've given up points on defense. You know, our fourth quarter point differential is what looks like a 1-4 team would look like, and that's where we have to find a way to be better. Is where do we find that play that turns the game? Because we are close and we are doing a lot of good things. Things that I feel very confident about, things that are really positive. We've improved week to week in a lot of areas. And the unfortunate part is we don't have results and outcomes to show for it. But there's a lot of things that are going in the right direction and things that I feel very confident about. And so to see guys frustrated after a game, yes, that makes me feel good that we got a bunch of guys that care and want to win and are willing to do what it takes to figure it out.
When's Brian Callahan going to say, no, it's not good to have the $90 million receiver criticizing the play calling after the game? When's that going to happen? When's the coach going to get up there and say, hey, what we're doing is inexcusable and guys are going to have to earn their spots? How many more of these rear end spankings do they have to get? But it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. They'll get up there after every game and every day and say, oh, you know, it was a good thing that we lost that game to that backup quarterback. It was a good thing that Malik Willis came in here and absolutely deboned our rear ends. It's a good thing that this happens here in Titan land. We may have to start pumping the toxic positivity mix. We may have to start pumping that back in there. Maybe have to get that back in the rotation a little bit. Phone lines driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Bill is up next on the program. Bill, go ahead.
Hey, Jared. Thanks for taking my call. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you, sir.
I got a couple of facts I'd like to point out just real quick. You made a comparison.
Are these real facts or are these Titan facts?
No, these are Titan facts and real facts. You made a comparison.
Those are mutually exclusive. I'm sorry, but Bill, those are mutually exclusive. Titan facts aren't real. Real facts are real.
Okay, the word got real facts in.
Okay, good. Go.
Here, a little while ago, you made a comparison with Andy Reid and Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes. And one of the terms that Andy Reid always used with Patrick Mahomes was he teachable. Okay, so when they first got Patrick Mahomes, he wasn't the greatest quarterback of all time.
Right.
Is he teachable? So what happened, and I'm going to say, everybody's thinking it and everybody's feeling it, and I'm going to go ahead and say it. They never should have gotten rid of Tannehill because it was too soon for Levitt. He didn't have enough training to go in to take the spot that he wanted. Okay? They're realizing that now.
Well, but I mean, Will Levis is 25 years old. So at some point, Bill, thank you for your call. I mean, he's 25 years old. At some point, Will Levis has to play in the NFL. You know, Anthony Richardson, I think, is an example of bad management. Where the Indianapolis Colts drafted Anthony Richardson with the 4th overall pick. And that's what I would have done if I was the Colts. I would have drafted Anthony Richardson. But from the second the Colts drafted Anthony Richardson, they did everything the exact opposite of what I would have done. And considering that Anthony Richardson right now is not very good, I'd like to think that my way would have worked better. But my plan was, because he was 21 years old and had a handful of starts under his belt in college, I would have sat him on the bench. I would have run to the podium and said, well, I probably would have re-signed Matt Ryan because, you know, Matt Ryan's a true cerebral veteran, you know, whatever, but Gardner Minshew's fine. Gardner Minshew is our starting quarterback, and I would have left it that way. And I would have gone into the season with Sam Ehlinger as the backup, and I would have deactivated Anthony Richardson. And again, this is where expectations, I think, are really important to understand, and the Titans do a terrible job of setting expectations. But if the expectation is this guy is so raw but has so much talent that we are going to take this slowly, and you have to understand that is our plan, fans get on board with that pretty quickly. It's crazy, but it is the truth. The problem is the Titans, again, give people unreal expectations time and time again. And when it comes to Will Levis and the comparison I'm making to Anthony Richardson, Will Levis is 25 years old in the second year in the NFL. He's got to play. Like, there's no, well, you know, we should have brought back Tannehill for one more year, and with no right tackle, Ryan Tannehill's going to win you 8 games. You'll be picking 12th, and what's that going to do for you? Will Levis had to play, and he's played, and he's stunk. But, I mean, I'm not sure there were any facts in there. Let me give you an example of the real facts versus Titans facts. I think this is bullcrap. Like, I think this guy's being sarcastic with this text. But let's pretend he's not. Daniel says in the text line, Jared, you seem to be ignoring the fact that we are 5 or 6 plays away from being 4-1 right now. This team can compete, but they need to gel and finish better. Again, he said fact. It is a fact that the Titans are 5 or 6 plays away from being 4-1. Is that a fact? Or is that your feeling? And again, Titans facts. Titans facts are feelings, they're vibes, they're nothing you ever find in the box score. But as great as it is, Jeffrey Simmons, to say that it's not all about sacks, maybe it'd be nice if you did get some sacks. Maybe it would be nice if you did hit the quarterback, just occasionally. Is it something to ask for? Because this may be crazy, but box score stats do matter. You know who has really good box score stats? Derrick Henry has really good box score stats. You know why? Because Derrick Henry's really good. That's why. Titans facts are, Derrick Henry wouldn't have done that with our offensive line. Derrick Henry did it with a lot of offensive lines. And again, that's a real fact. By the way, you could have drafted guys the Ravens have. Roger Rosengarten plays right tackle, second round pick out of Washington, 62nd overall. But you took a run stuffing D2 who doesn't hit the quarterback. But Jared, did you see Brian Baldinger's breakdown of Tavondre Sweat? Yes. A feeling. Wow, look at this. He'll be good. Zero quarterback hits. A fact. We're going to stop with the Titans facts and get with the real facts. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025, here on our program. Now, I know everybody thinks that I love firing coaches and firing general managers and whatnot. And yet, all I ask for is a justification as to why I should not want to fire coaches and general managers when I want to fire them. We'll get to that next. Stoneman & Company, 102.5 The Game.
But are you fitting your vision?
No, I feel really good about the work that we put in. I had a couple interviews yesterday, and for me personally, it goes without saying, I think we've had a hell of an offseason. I hope you can hear the guys, whatever's going on behind me.
Oh,
I
yeah.
can't even see.
Well, what's going on is that there was an interception, and someone is carrying it all the way to the
Luke
house.
Luke Gifford
taking it in. The
touchdown Titans.
Flash, touchdown Titans.
And so I think we've had a hell of an offseason. It's probably been understated.
That was Rand Carthon during the SiriusXM NFL training camp tour doing an interview during practice. Saying, hey, there's something good going on back there. What happened? Oh, it's an interception. Oh, yeah. Hey, wow. This is just maybe Rand should have watched the practice to see what was going on. Maybe that's why Rand was so positive this offseason, feeling about, Will Levis' quarterback, because he wasn't watching practice, so he didn't see the interceptions that were thrown in practice. Remember when they played the Seahawks, Ian, and they had a two-minute drive, and on the first play, Will Levis threw an interception, and I was like, guys, red flag, and they were like, no, they'll figure it out. It'll be fine. Okay, that's fine, whatever. So I find the Titans right now to be a complete and total nightmare. Like, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't enjoy doing this. I don't enjoy this season. I miss, and I'm a Titan fan, so I'm going to use the word we here for a second when describing the Titans. It used to be fun when they used to win. I was going to say we, but I just couldn't bring myself to it. It used to be fun. Like, it used to be fun. Monday Night Football against the Buffalo Bills, and Derrick Henry carries the ball, and they get a stop on the one-inch line against Josh Allen, and it used to be fun. Well, those days are long gone. You're a 9-point dog. It doesn't get much bigger than that in the NFL. So I just want this nightmare to end. But this morning, I'm listening to Robbie and Rex Road, a very popular program, and I think at times, mainly Robbie, a well-thought-out program with some crazy ideas, but, I think they have a decent understanding of things. And then they were talking about Rand Carthon and whether or not he's going to stay the general manager of the Titans. And they each gave it a percentage. Joe Rex Road says 3% chance that Rand Carthon gets fired at the end of the year, meaning a 97% chance that Rand Carthon returns as general manager for next year, which, again, I lump them together, Brinker and Carthon, because I actually think it's more likely than not that Carthon gets fired. He's made the scapegoat for this year, and they implement Brinker in as kind of the full-time decision-making guy, and he'll sell Amy some more snake oil for another year, and then he'll get fired. But again, Rand, 97%, according to Joe Rexroad. Paul Kaharsky says 6% chance Rand gets fired. So 94% that they think Rand Carthon's coming back. Robbie gave it a 25% chance that Rand gets fired, which means 75% chance that Rand's coming back. But even while I think that's ridiculous, at least he's in more of the ballpark. And here was kind of the explanation, because I'm trying to figure out, what is the defense? Like, what is the defense of keeping the band together that, again, gets worse and worse every single week?
if you're Amy and you have invested all this into this, and I mean, it's a big change now, right? And yeah, a little bit of a half measure change maybe last year. Now it's the full thing. And you're really going to entertain starting over? I can't. Especially with all the criticism she has, to me, rightfully received about rashly making decisions in the last few years. I think I'm 2%, and I feel like that's it. 25% is wild.
Two.
Wild, Robbie.
Have you seen her the last 2 years?
I know. But again, that's part of my reasoning.
So the only reason, according to Joe, that Rand Carthon should stay is because Amy has been criticized for bad moves in the past. That's not a very good reason, is it? Now, I think that there's a chance Joe might be right. Like, I think the reason that nobody got fired on Monday is because everybody's made jokes about, oh, Amy's going to be so mad she's going to fire somebody. Same reason why nobody got fired after Malik Willis came in here and beat them. But what progress am I seeing from the Titans? Like, what progress am I seeing that if the season were to end today would justify investing more in the guys that are currently calling the shots? That's the only question I'm asking. Like, what justification exists? And again, I want real facts, not Titan facts. If the best reason to not fire somebody is you have a reputation for firing people, so don't fire this guy, that's not good enough for me. If you have examples of things that are good, and I mean consistent examples, because I'm sure somebody will say, well, they drafted J.C. Latham, Jared, and Rustin Webster drafted Taylor Lewan. It doesn't mean that the Titans needed another 6 years of Rustin Webster. So, I mean, I just want logic to be used around here. And I know I'm loud, and I know I'm crass, and I know that people always want to hear good things until they lose, and then they're okay with hearing bad things. I remember this with the Predators when David Poyle and John Hines, man, they were hanging on. And the Preds fans said, no, Jared, we believe it. I trust David Poyle more than you. And then after enough losing, it was like, yeah, no, it's time to move on. But at least David Poyle had won a little bit. You know, he's in his career before completely falling off the hill. This is just, nothing's good. Everything's bad. They say everything is good, when in reality, everything is bad. And I'm being told by Joe Rexroth the reason that the Titans have to keep the group together that assembled this group where their $90 million receiver has 9 catches through 5 games is because, well, she's fired people before, so she shouldn't do it again. Are you ever going to win anything that way? I remember the late Mark Howard was on the radio talking about firing Ken Whisenhunt right before they did it. And he was like, they're not going to fire Ken Whisenhunt because he's in year two of a $25 million contract over 5 years. And I believed that. Like, I believed that. I truly believed that they were not going to fire him because the Titans were considered a cheap organization and they owed Ken Whisenhunt too much money, so we were going to be stuck watching that bullcrap. And Amy, thank God, fired him. And the next year, they had a competitive team. The next year. So, again, if the reason to keep somebody is, well, we gave him a contract, so we got to do it, that's not a good enough reason. If the reason to keep people are, well, you know, they got criticized for firing the guys who won, so now they shouldn't fire the guys who lose, that doesn't make any sense either. Like, I'm sorry. There's no excuse for the Titans to have spent the money they spent this offseason, to have said the things that they said this offseason, and for them to be this bad. There's no excuse for it. And yet, if Joe has his way, we'll get to sit through at least another year of this. And if you had to ask me, Jared, what do you think is going to happen? You know, big picture with the Titans. I would tell you that I think they're going to be bad this year. And I think they're going to be bad next year, because even though I think there's a really good chance they will fire Rand and make Chad Brinker kind of the unquestioned guy, even though Diana Russini says he's the decision maker there now, I think he's also a dope. So I don't think that that's going to change much. And so they'll be bad next year. And then maybe in 2026, we can hope that they'll have a chance. Hope. That is not exciting to me. It's not. But that's how they operate, right? They fire the guys who win because they weren't winning enough, and they keep the guys who lose because they were embarrassed that they fired the guys who were winning. And Joe Rexrow thinks that's the right thing to do. 615-737-1025 on our program, Stillman & Company, 1025 The Game. And let me tell all the fine folks out there, because I do need to do some of these liners here, to join me, Chris, and Derek live at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs this Sunday for the award-winning pregame show from 9:30 to 11:30 ahead of the Titans and the Bills. The award-winning pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. And tune into 1025-106 through The Game this Saturday for Vandy football, where the Commodores take on Ball State with pregame beginning at 4:30 on 94.9 The Fan and moving to 1025 The Game following the Preds. Vanderbilt football kicks off at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 1025 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com.
I know there's always urgency for you guys, but is that increased this week, just given the facts of your record and two good teams coming up on the road?
Yeah, it's. I mean, I don't mean disrespect by it. Our urgency never really changes. It's something that you have to have in the NFL if you want to have a chance in every game you play. There can't be any deviation from your. You can't get up for 1 week and then think it's going to be easy the next week. It's a consistent work ethic, a consistent urgency every day. And you have to keep your focus small during the season, because there's so much happening outside, and there's other things that go on in the league, and you have to sort of really narrow your focus to each team you play every week. And our guys do a great job of that. I love the way they practice. I love the intensity they come to work with. Even today, we're 1-4. It's not fun. You know, there's the guys want to be in the mix, and they want to win games, and so do I. And so it's a credit to them that they come into work and work the way they do. Because it is, it's challenging when you're fighting like we are to get out of a hole. That usually makes for an edge and an urgency that is different than if you're 4-1. You have the same urgency but you're playing for something different. We're trying to fight our way out of a hole right now, and the urgency still remains the same.
Brian Callahan talking about, yeah, you know, I mean, hey, we got to have urgency with our record and with our. Texter says, Levis and Skoronski said today's practice was bad and they could have had better energy. Are the players throwing in the towel because they know Levis stinks? It's probably not just Levis. They probably know the whole team sucks. And they're going to Buffalo. And they know they're staring 1-6 in the face. And I love Brian Callahan. Man, the energy they came in with the building today. Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's great. You know, I keep thinking back to Titan facts versus reality. And I kept thinking about, you know, Berg Nyhill's the team's president and CEO. He doesn't theoretically do football stuff. That's not really his business. The stadium is kind of more his business. But he did a radio interview on the other station during training camp about Brian Callahan, and he said, you know, we thought when we hired him that we got the right guy, but now we know we crushed it. And I remember hearing that and thinking, how do you know that? Like, I mean, I think Barry Trotz is doing a good job for the Predators, though the Predators right now not playing very well. I think Barry Trotz is doing a good job, but I don't know that he's going to lead them to the cup. I don't know that. I don't know that they're... My expectation is making it to the second round of the playoffs this year, but I don't know that they're going to do that, and I'm not assuming they're going to do that. But the Titans love to take assumptions and say this is what's going to happen, and then it doesn't happen, and they say, why did you expect us to have this happen? And I'm not letting them off the hook this year. And so if they're sitting there saying, like, yeah, we're practicing bad because we suck, well, you know, Who could have seen that coming? Derek's only talked about it for the last 3 weeks about them losing the team. Titans and Truth, Chris is up next here on our program. Chris, go ahead.
What's up, Jared? I need to air out my grievance right now when it comes to this team. And I just need
you
to
got
ask,
1 minute, so make it quick.
I'll make it quick. Am I asking too much for one to win? I want to win. Instead of the loser mentality that I keep seeing from everybody, okay, we should just go ahead and go for the draft pick. I'm thinking the thing is simple. Take out the mistake waiting to happen, who has made mistakes in Will Levis. Put in Mason Rudolph, and let's see if we can go win some games. I don't think I'm asking for too much. Am I asking for too much to want to win?
I think you're asking for the wrong thing. And I'm going to tell you why. Because let's just call a spade here, Chris. They're not going to win this week, right?
Most likely.
Okay, they're not going to win next week, right?
Probably not, but with Mason Rudolph, I think you at least have a fighting chance.
I don't.
With Levis, absolutely not.
The Dallas Cowboys just got skunked by that Lion team, and even though Jerry blew it in free agency this year, I think we can say that Dak Prescott's probably better than your team. So, you know, your defense is ranked number one. Woo! You don't get any turnovers, and you don't get any sacks. So I have a hard time believing you're going to go to Detroit and beat the Lions. So now you're 1-6. So maybe you beat New England, so okay, that's two wins. Are you going to beat the Vikings, Chris?
Well, with the way that they're playing,
beat the Texans?
Again, with Mason, we have a better chance.
But are you going to beat the Texans?
All of those we lose.
Okay.
With Levis, all of those we lose.
And are you going to beat Jaden Daniels? I mean, you see what I'm saying? So now you're at like 10 losses before we even get to, well, they could win the Jacksonville game. So do you want to win?
That's not even guaranteed.
I agree, but do you want to win the other Colts game? Do you want to win the Jacksonville games? Do you want to win the New England game? Do you want to win those games? And now you're picking seventh, and if this were last year, you don't get Jaden Daniels. But if you lose these games, then you get to pick Jaden Daniels. Well, what, don't you want Jaden Daniels next year?
Here's the thing. We could do all of that losing and be right outside of the top. We could be right in the top five or top four. You still may not be in position for Sanders or Cam Ward, at least from one of the latest mock drafts, and I know there's a bunch of them. But the way it is going, you're picking fifth or sixth. You still might be on the outside picking Sanders and Ward. So that means all of that losing for nothing.
But the reason that a mock draft right now, Chris, thank you for your call. The reason a mock draft right now says that you're picking fifth or sixth is because there's a lot of one-win teams out there, and they have not had their bye weeks yet. So, like, you've had your bye week, so you're behind. You're 1-4. There's some 1-5 teams. I think New England's 1-5. Jacksonville is 1-5. I believe, I'm trying to think who else is 1-5 that's in that group of bad teams. I mean,
Jacksonville, where are they? Did you say
I said New England and Jacksonville. And one of those teams has to win this week. Cleveland. One of those Jacksonville, New England teams has to win this week because they play in London.
And Carolina.
Carolina. So, you know, Carolina probably not going to win any more games because they're terrible. But my point is that, like, you're behind those teams because you've had a bye and they haven't. So they're 1-5, you're 1-4. But in reality, I think you have to be the worst team in the NFL because I don't think any other team has played all of the backup quarterbacks that you've played and still lost. You know, I mean, New England, they're out there losing, but they're losing to starting quarterbacks. Jacksonville is losing, but they are losing to starting quarterbacks.
Although I think New England did lose to Huntley in Miami.
Is that who played quarterback for Miami in that game?
Yeah.
Boy, that number one pick's going to be on the line when the Titans play New England.
Might be, yeah.
Go Pats. Larry's up next. What's up, Larry?
Hey, I guess I want to agree more with the last caller, with Chris. The and my point is this. If I was Callahan, I would want to know that my system works. Just personal pride and to keep the locker room. So put the backup quarterback in for three games and just, you know, validate that his system works. I don't have any confidence in his system or in him right now.
Yeah, well, that seems kind of selfish, doesn't it? Like, you want to, you want his, like, I want to win because I want to make sure my system works. Seems kind of selfish, right?
Well, a little bit, but I mean, for the owner that's paying his salary, I don't know that his system works.
Well, again, I would think that you'd be better off with Jaden Daniels. Thank you for your call, Larry. I would think that you'd be better off with Jaden Daniels of this year or whoever than you would be by, hey, the system works because we beat the Patriots. Way to go. But I could be wrong. Okay. I did this today. We've got a game show. I've always wanted to be a game show host. I think I'd be pretty good at it. We've got a game show that I want to play. We'll do it next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And let's go ahead and give away those tickets that we've got to give away. Let's give away those tickets to the Nashville Ballet. That's right. Be caller 5 and you'll win a 4-pack of tickets to the Nashville Ballet's performance of Dia de los Muertos at the Martin Center for the Nashville Ballet on Saturday, October 19th at 11 a.m. How was that for a pronunciation right there? 102.5 The Game.